So when Charlotte talked this morning about living out her Unitarian Universalist faith, about leaning into her commitments, we got to hear a couple of things at the same time that I think are wonderful to hear said out loud. One thing that we got to hear is what it means to live our principles of Unitarian Universalism out in the world. To remember that it's we keep reaching out with those. That the mission isn't only a sort of an internal conversation, because we spent quite a while figuring out together what that was going to be. I love that we got to hear how she decided something and then kept working at it for a pretty long time. It's easy to get inspired and then not be able to continue to keep working on something. She's completely committed, which is always inspiring. And the thing that I really loved about what she shared with us when she described the way that that conversation went at the Friends meeting about offering sanctuary being spiritually challenging is that she shared with us that conversation about would you offer sanctuary to a felon, and then the conflictedness and fear and some refusal that came up in herself that she had to wrestle with herself and then spoke out loud to that group of people who are also passionately committed to this work, knowing that it risked her belonging to that group of people. Well, of course, it turned out that it didn't actually risk that. But that's the fear when you speak up about your doubts or the place that you know you're not lining up completely with the mission or the project. To say out loud to everyone, I'm not sure, or I think differently, or I have this spot where I'm aware that I maybe my own thinking doesn't match up. To share that with people is a big risk. And it's the only way we actually sort things out and move forward together. So to get to hear that said out loud is a great gift to us, and I think to that program of offering sanctuary, because it means that everybody is there with their full hearts, fully present. So I'm going to hold on to two spiritual treasures from Charlotte's reflection. One is her deep call to reconstitute the world. And the other is her willingness to be honest and vulnerable about where her mind and heart are still challenged. So I'm going to hold on to that line. I'm still working on that. It's a really great line to have with you as you engage in some of the tremendously difficult work that is out there in the world and in our own hearts. I'm still working on that all the time. Charlotte reminds us something important about how commitment causes change and how commitment opens up our hearts so that we live into stories that are not simple. I'd like to tell you another story about commitment and about figuring out how to live into a life that's in the present. But this story that I want to tell you involves four generations of a family. It comes from the StoryCorps collection of stories, which is a program that records people's stories so that we get to hear people's full humanity from all kinds of experiences. And the conversations are kind of like the one that we got to overhear from Charlotte, about those moments when people meet each other with their hearts open and their full complexity of being alive. So this story that I want to share with you is told by mother and daughter, Carmen and Jasmine, that there's an older generation in the story and a younger generation in the story as well. And this story happens 17 years after Carmen was arrested for use and possession of drugs, and her six children, including Jasmine, were put into foster care. And it's important to know that Carmen, the mother in this story, spent most of her childhood in foster care as well. So Jasmine tells her mother that she remembers the instability in their household. She remembers when her mother was using, that there were periods of time when the six children didn't go to school because no one made them go to school. And Carmen, the mother, reminisced about the day that the police came to the house to arrest her. And Jasmine knew about that because she was actually at school that day, and the school counselor came and got her and told her that she wouldn't be going home. And she went from school to a foster home with a black plastic bag with a few of her things. And suddenly her world was just torn apart. She didn't know if she would see her mother again at that point. And as the two of them talked, they shared that anxiety because they had both experienced not knowing what would happen next in their lives. And Carmen said that it was profoundly heartbreaking for her to know that her children were now experiencing what she had experienced as a child, the aloneness and the fear. And then Carmen said that she remembered being in court when her mother, that older generation out there, told the judge that she didn't want her daughter. Can you imagine the fundamental wound that would cause to a soul? And how would someone go on? Well, the adult Carmen struggled with that wound, clearly, but eventually did go to detox, and when she left detox, she was remembering her own experience and knew that her children were in foster care, and she was thinking, even if I can't get them back, I want them to know that they're worth fighting for. And the daughter, Jasmine, told her mother that she had done the right thing by doing that, by fighting for them. And Jasmine did go back to live with her mother. From the way they tell the story, I'm not sure that all six children did. But things changed as they lived together, but they were not easy, as you can imagine. But as they tell the story, at this moment, the story immediately moves to Jasmine's daughter, who is a young child, and how delightful it is for the three of them to be together, and how grateful Carmen is to be in both of their lives. It's clear that Carmen and her granddaughter have that sweet grandparent-grandchild bond that the parents watch go by and think, this is different than what we had. Carmen expresses so much gratitude for being in relationship with her daughter and granddaughter. And she's tremendously grateful for the fact that her granddaughter does not have to go through the tumult and heartbreak that she herself and her daughter did. And Jasmine says, growing up, I never saw myself as someone who could change things. Now you know I am doing that. And Carmen confirms, you are doing that. And what they mean is that in the space of four generations, they have figured out how to change their family, how to not keep passing down that story of not being wanted, of being in so much pain that you can't maintain connections, that you can't take care of each other, that you can't be truly with each other. As Carmen and Jasmine talked, they were very matter-of-fact about the fourth-generation grandmother who had been so clear about her decision of not being able to keep her child. And then the next generation, who could see just enough that she didn't want to repeat that pain. She'd repeated a whole bunch of other stuff, but there was one piece that she could move. Getting sober allowed her to fully commit to living her own life and to keep figuring out how to be open with her children, and I suspect everyone in her life. And so there was a gratitude that they could pass back and forth. A gratitude to be able to tell the story of their lives, to tell the story of the life that they had lived most immediately, to tell the story of what had come before that had been so hurtful and could have just kept causing pain down the generations. You know this story in your families, how that pain gets passed. And if you're lucky, you get to do what Carmen and Jasmine did, which is to put your shoulder against it and at least slow how that story comes forward. But when these two women talked, they told the story like, well, yes, she did say she didn't want me, and I decided to not do that. And I thought it was amazing how they could be so calm as they talked about the most difficult parts of their lives. I heard someone talking recently about how to live with our past, how to live with our ancestors and all the stories of our past. And they suggested that we might try to receive our past, all of our past, with gratitude. Which didn't mean that you had to be thrilled about everything, that you had to think that everything was fine, that all the stories were good. But to receive it whole, to be grateful that there was a story to receive, that we get to, that you get to know what you do know. There is so much in the world that is forgotten or unspoken, unacknowledged. So many things that happened in our ancestors' lives which we won't ever really know the story of, although we're probably feeling how it plays out. And so if you get to know the story, that's a gift, even if it's a painful one. And it is always true that whatever our ancestors did, without them, we would not be here. And that gift to be here is a gift, not a simple or an easy gift. But it is a way to begin to think of gratitude holding everything we receive. I have a family that is mostly very close, and we appreciate each other. And there is harshness in my ancestor line, not very far back. And mental illness, significant mental illness. And so when we start to talk about what we get from our ancestors, it's complicated. When we sit four or 11 of us around a table having a meal, we have a lovely, sweet time, but just one generation back, We have to keep breathing, to keep remembering it all with gratitude, to keep remembering that the way that people decide that we're all worth fighting for can be complicated. Not everyone is able to have the forthright and open conversations that Carmen and Jasmine did in this story, that Charlotte shared with us about, I'm not sure about this part. And what we know is true is that everyone is worth fighting for. That even if we have ancestors either in our own families or in our religious heritage, because in our religious ancestry there is some harshness. There really, theologically, back there are some people who kind of gave up on a good part of humanity. We can do the theology of that another day, but I think we sometimes still feel that echo, even if we don't know the story. And so it's our practice to keep receiving our ancestors, keep receiving our past with gratitude. The sweet and the difficult, the spring and the winter. To keep turning our hearts toward each other and taking it in, difficult as that practice is. And that is the beauty of being in community. You hear it a little bit from Stephanie through Jim about coming here together and practicing doing that. Practicing kindness. Practicing openness. And because we're all practicing, we can learn together, even if it's a little rough or around the edges together, because we know that that's what we're here to do. To learn, to live this deepest kindness out loud.